Well, I don't know about you guys.
It's pretty wild to me to think that in 4 hours, 2024 is gone.
And the other day I was talking to Brother Billy over here, and I was explaining to myself that I'm amazed how fast time is going. You know, and he's got a couple years on us, but he looks at me and he goes, it just keeps going faster. But tonight what I want to do is real quick is I want to look at what have we experienced in 2024. I don't know about you guys. I like some of the end of the year stuff. You look at, you know, the top 25 stories. You find out what happened. And I'm a sports guy, so I'm like, what are the top 25 stories of sports? You know, but I was a little overwhelmed looking at 2024, and it's just talking about, you know, some of the events that have gone on. You know, you think of all that's gone on in Israel with Hamas, and now the leader of Syria being ousted. You see the war with Ukraine and Russia. You see the Iran and North Korea and China and all these people in cahoots, and you're going, what is going on? You look to our country and you look at, you know, the election that consumed our country for so long. You look at the economy. You look at, obviously, the result of the election and how far-reaching it could be. You know, then you look at even just at our church. You know, I try to keep a journal, and, you know, when I remembered when how many folks got saved over the year and how many people got baptized and joined the church and, you know, seeing, you know, old faces come back and all of those things. You know, then we also, as a church, we've lost some faces this year. We've also gained some faces. It was, I'm not going to tell you how excited I was to hear that cry when she got in there. But us personally, some of you have lost, you know, family members. Some of you have gained family members. But the reality is, we're wise to take a look at what 2024 was. I want to look at three areas real quick. I want to open with one verse. For time, I will just read it. And it says this in Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Folks, we have an opportunity tonight to kind of reflect back on 2024, both as a church, as a family, as a community, and as a person. And there's three areas that I want us to take a quick look at. And I'm not looking for responses, but I'm just telling us, this is what I feel like God's called me to do. And the first thing is this, is that we have to realize that we're 1 year closer to either our last breath or to the Lord coming back. Right. We're 1 year closer to hearing one of two things. One is, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, or depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Guys, there is no in-between. We are going to hear one of those two things. We can look back at 2024 and say, hey, I did this really well. But did you do the right things well? Did you put God first? So the things I want us to look at tonight is this. Was your walk with God all that it could be? What does that mean? Did you draw nigh to God? We've never in history had more opportunity to have Bible and preaching and everything at our fingertips. You could go online and you can hear the Bible in any language, any Bible version. You could have specific people read the Bible to you. But have you been in your Bible? Good. Preacher has gotten, you know, a gift every year that, you know, we've been here is the spiritual journals. You know, opportunities to be able to read through the Bible in a year. I get excited when young people are, I'm showing them apps on the Bible. Like there's an app on my phone that there's 100 or 200 different topics or scriptures-based studies that they can do right on their phones. They can set it up where you get an alarm to go off to make sure you're getting your study done. So where is your walk with Christ as we literally are getting ready to close out 2024? I can't answer that for you. The pastor can't answer that for you. We as Christians, we're very good at looking the part. Showing up, saying the right things, bless God, we're excited. but only you know where your heart has been with the walk with Christ. You know, there was a preacher one time that was talking. He goes, if we were serious with the people in our church, at any given time, there's 20% of the people that are ready to walk away. Simply because they're lost. They're not lost. They're saved, but they're prodigal. They've walked away. They're not putting in time to their first love. The reality is we have two ways that God is communicating. One is through his word. So are you putting in the time to be in his word? But also, how is your prayer life? My prayer life this year has gone leaps and bounds because I got some great examples on the excitement and the idea of what it means to have a fervent prayer life. Amen. Have I arrived? Absolutely not. I think if you ask any of these men, they want more. So how are you doing with your walk with Christ? The second thing I want to ask you is this. How is your relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Folks, I don't know about you, but I am absolutely in my element on Sunday morning getting a chance to say hi to so many people. You know, Brother Brian and I, we kind of joke around a little bit that, you know, we can't wait to meet new people because we want them to know that we are excited about them being at church. How about you guys? Do you know everybody's name yet? One of the things I love is, you know, some of the folks will come up and, now what's your middle kid's name? You know, that one, I think, and I'm counting all the names and I'm rattling through. I'm like, oh, that's Caleb. Okay, not Caleb, but the other one. Do you know how exciting it is for me to have people knowing my kid's name and we're the new guys? But here's what I want to challenge you guys. What about when you leave this place? What about when you have an opportunity to invest in somebody? My heartbeat is this, is that I don't just get to know your name, but I get to know you. Because then when you say, hey, I need a prayer request, then I know who and what I'm praying for. How am I going to carry your burdens, or how are you going to carry my burdens if we barely know each other's names? Imagine coming to a church with 200 people and sitting in a pew and two people say hi. That's scary. That scares me because, man, what if I miss the opportunity to say hi to somebody? I talk way too much. My wife will tell you that night every time. But not everyone is like that. I get it. Sometimes when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we've got to step out of our skin a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9 says this, but as touching brotherly love, need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. How are you doing on reaching out to the brothers and sisters in Christ? The third part of it is this. How are you doing with the lost? To me, there's three components, and all of them are important. First and foremost, connection with God. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ because then we get the encouragement and the boldness to go out and reach others. Amen. Folks, there is literally, as Brother Ryan said, 250,000 people in this county, many of which are searching for life. They're searching for truth and grace. Guess what? You and I get to live it out here in this community. Amen. Every time you go to the supermarket, every time you're in line, every time you're at a red light, that's the one that gets me. Sometimes at the red light, I'm like, oh, man, please tell me I don't have a Fellowship Baptist. No, just kidding. So the reality is this, those three things, how did you do in 2024? Good. Was your walk with God everything that you hoped it would be? The reality is, probably not everything you'd hoped. My guess is the fellowship you've had with brothers and sisters in Christ, you probably had intentions of like, you know what, I wanted to reach out to them and invite them out. I wanted to invite them out for coffee. I wanted to get together with them and encourage them. And all of a sudden, here we are. December 31st, almost 8-something at night, we missed the opportunity. The same thing with the lost. I've told this story before, but one of the motivating factors I have is when God puts something on my heart that I want to follow through is my father-in-law. He's working at a Chevy plant. He's on a forklift, and God put it on his heart to share the gospel with a man from his work. Lost man, he knew he was lost. My father-in-law said in his mind, he said, you know what? I'll wait till Monday. Guess who didn't come back to work ever again? And he passed away. It was that man. Our walk with Christ, our walk with each other, and how we are taking care of the lost. Guys, church is great. This is our shelter. This is where we come to get encouraged and excited. But make no mistake, if you're taking breath, you have a role to get the lost saved. So here's the thing. We can look at all about 2024. We're all excited. All right, 2025, that's going to be the year. But what's going to change? How can our walk with Christ grow? What can we do in 2025 that's different? Again, you have to answer that. Our pastor's doing everything he can. He's given us, you know, the daily reading again to get through the Bible. Like I said, our heartbeat as pastors of this church is that you would grow in a way that you've never done before. That you would step out. That you would get the questions answered. I guarantee you that I speak for all four men of the pastors and for every, you know, for the deacons and anybody. If there's something we can be doing to help you encourage your faith, we're here. I don't care the hour of the day, whatever it takes. Because all I know is if I have a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ who's equally excited to share the gospel, we've multiplied our efforts. So what are you going to do this year to make your prayer life and your reading life different? Set some goals. Have some hard things that you want to try to do. What about your brothers and sisters in Christ? What can you do different in 2025? Can I encourage you? Be intentional with people. Find someone to, you know, hey, can we meet for coffee? I just want to pray for you this week. Not going to lie, I can't tell you how many times, how encouraging it was to get a note or a text from folks because we were new. This past week has been, you know, obviously with arrival of a granddaughter and a daughter-in-law, it's been tremendous. Every text, every Facebook message or whatever came through was an encouragement. Folks, we all need that. What about if somebody sitting in the pew in front of you the last few weeks, they haven't been there? It's not just our job to reach out to them, but it's yours as well. You are the body of Christ. You are going to have way more influence if you call somebody up and say, hey, man, I've really missed you at church. Because if we do it, they're going to go, wow, that's kind of your job. But what I'm asking is this. How can you help encourage other brothers and sisters in Christ? My wife and I talk about this often. If you're going through some stuff, the best thing you can do is take on the burden of somebody else. Because then all of a sudden, you're giving, and God's going to give it right back to you. My heartbeat is with reaching out to the lost. The things that we're trying to do in our community to bring people in, to go out and to be a testimony. I'm still getting people's responses from when we were at the Fall Fest. You know, they're like, oh, it was really nice to talk to you guys. I've gotten a few texts from people. Folks, we literally have people that are wanting to come all the time. Number one, a lot of people don't know this campus is here. They're like, yeah, but I saw that building. I said, no, you got to come on the campus. When we do those things, when we're reaching out, when we're being intentional, I don't know if you're aware, but we have a whole lot of different tracks, postcards and everything that you can give every time you go to the supermarket, every time you go to the wherever else you go, libraries, gyms, I'm trying to think. But the reality is this. We have a lost and dying world that is trying to find life. So what are you going to do different next year in 4 hours than you did this year? Now, guys, here's what I'm getting at is this. Yes, it's December 31st, and I'm asking us to look back at the year 2024. What are you going to do different in 2025? But hear me on this. I'm not just asking you for the next year. I'm not a guy who looks at resolutions or for New Year's. To me, it's, what am I going to do tomorrow? Guess what? I'm going to mess up tomorrow. Guess what I'm going to do the next day? Start over. Folks, once a year doing a resolution isn't going to do it. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. The first verse I ever learned was, and I don't laugh at me, I wrote it down because I memorized it years ago and I keep flipping back and forth from the NIV. Sorry, preacher. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Many of you know it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. Guys, I don't need to hear how your 2024 was. Because as we read in Paul in Philippians, it's gone. It's already over. We get to worry about tomorrow. I don't care what role you have as a husband, as a father, grandfather, employee, employer. Every single opportunity we have is a blessing from God. We have every opportunity to start fresh the next day. Guess what? All of a sudden you start having a good day, and then the next day gets better. You're a little bit more confident, a little more bolder, not only in your walk, but in your encouragement, in your desire to help the lost. My prayer for our church is that we will be able to sit back and watch God do tremendous things through all the different opportunities and ministries. But it starts with you and I getting serious about our faith. And I kept trying to figure out how I was going to do this, but this morning, every time I turned on a music source, because as I'm walking and cleaning, I'm listening, and a song kept coming on. And the words are, I'm all in. I just want to read one little part of it. It says this. So I step to the edge and I take a deep breath. We're all dying to live, but we're all scared to death. This is the part where my head tells my heart, you should turn back, but there's no turning back now. All to you, Jesus, I freely give. With reckless abandon, I'm going all in. Guys, I'm not just asking, you know, someone had said, you know, that phrase, thrive in 25. I want to far out exceed thriving. I don't want to just survive. But I also want that for you. I want that for your families. I want that for every person in our church, because then when folks walk into our church, they go, there's something different about this crowd. Like I said, if the mercies are new every morning, if we're a new creature in Christ, however bad this year was, or however bad tomorrow is, if you're blessed to wake up, you have another opportunity. Are you all in? Dads, are you all in for your families, for your wives, for your kids? Young people, not so young people, we need each other. One of the things I love is how encouraged I watch the kids be by people encouraging the littles. And encouraging our teenagers. Are you all in?